Thank you, sir, and I appreciate y'all coming to listen to me for a few minutes here today. Before we get started too much, I just want to bring up we do research because we're either trying to solve problems or improve on existing application methods. Booth, 2009, stated there was an estimated $391 million in nitrogen fertilizer flows down the Mississippi River. And additionally, Malakoff estimated that $700 million flows down the river annually. Currently, NUE for cereal grain production is 33%, and it's one of the most costly inputs to agriculture production today, especially with today's volatile prices. And these four big bad bullets, they lead to a lot of socioeconomic problems that I'm sure we're all aware of, such as eutrophication, things along that nature. Now, there are many solutions to these problems, including forage grain production systems, genetically modified hybrids, foliar applying fertilizers, and precision agriculture approaches. And I want to touch base on precision agriculture approaches today. Traditionally, throughout the Corn Belt, mid-season fertilizer is placed on the center of a 38-centimeter row. It's a pretty standard procedure throughout the Corn Belt. And with the advent of precision agricultural technologies, it has become possible for our producers to place mid-season applications closer to the planted row. And this can be obtained using many precision platforms, such as AutoTrac, AutoSteer, with the use of RTK correction signals. Now, simply, I just wanted to evaluate mid-season nitrogen applications at V8 to V10 using liquid urea ammonium nitrate at rates of 45, 90, and 134 kg a hectare at distances of 0, 10, 20, and 30 centimeters from the planted row. We knew there would be a response, and we weren't quite sure if applying UAN at a zero distance on the seminal roots would hurt grain yield. Just a few photographs here to kind of depict our application methods. Like I said, we had a treatment of 0 centimeters, which was we placed directly on the brace roots down a 76 centimeter row. Sorry about that. The next application was 10 centimeters from the row, following 20 centimeters, and the last application 30 centimeters from the planted row, almost directly down the center. Now, we didn't have a applicator equipped with RTK or a auto steer type system, so we did it manually with syringes. We measured over from the planted row our given distances, stretched a line, painted a few dots, and applied. We had syringes loaded with the appropriate rate and applied down that row in the given position. And I feel like we did a pretty good job of replicating the accuracy of an RTK-type auto-steer system. Once again, we were just trying to replicate what the RT200 system does. That's the variable rate Greenseeker variable rate applicator. At OSU, currently, we use drops to side dress with 45 nozzles and get the fertilizer a little closer to the plant than just straight down the center of the row. Now, there's been some previous work done by Venn and West out of Purdue, University of Purdue. They planted corn at variable distances from a pre-plant band of UAN, and they found that 12.7 centimeters or 5 inches from the pre-plant nitrogen band was optimum, as well as currently at Oklahoma State University, the agricultural engineering and soil fertility program is doing a similar study, except for it's much drier and you can expect less rainfall in Oklahoma. So it's more of a dry land, a Great Plains production system rather than what they call dry land in Indiana, which is usually quite a bit more moist than we are in Oklahoma. And we found that planting corn 15.24 centimeters are six inches from the pre-plant bin was the most optimum. Additionally, Shop and Jansen from the University of from Kansas State University, they did a study. They planted nitrogen bands close to the row in extremely wet conditions, as well as in normal to dry conditions, and found that they had better yields when planting close in extremely wet conditions. And they hypothesized this was due to they had more root, less root formation in wet conditions. Additionally, there was a study done in 2007 by Mr. Daniel Edmonds at Oklahoma State University. He fertilized every other row or sets of rows and found that if you fertilized this row benefited slightly from that fertilizer, while this row didn't really benefit at all. This would just provide evidence for not extensive flow of nitrate within a single growing season on a micro scale. We had three experimental locations that made it through some of the dry land conditions in Oklahoma. This first location was at our Lake Carl Blackwell Irrigated Research Facility just outside of Stillwater, Oklahoma. We used a randomized complete block with three replications. The plots were 6 meters by 4 rows wide, harvested the middle 2 rows, and this was in a port silt loam. At that first location, as you can see, the 45 kg a hectare rate was significant over the 30 centimeter application distance using SED of 808.64 kg a hectare, as well as the 90 kg a hectare rate was not quite significant but very close, as indicated by this yellow star here. And also the high rate of 179 kg a hectare of N was also significant. And it's interesting that in this high rate, they stepped down as the rates went away from the plant. 2009, once again at the irrigated facility in Lake Carl Blackwell. This year we added three high rate treatments, and I'll explain why here in a second. Again, we used a randomized complete design with three replications. Plots were the same size, harvested the middle 2 rows, and this is back on a port silt loam again. Now we added these replications because we wanted to replicate field conditions. The first treatment, we placed 13 centimeters up on the stalk, sprayed it right across the stalk, and the UAN was running down the plants and went through the rows. Now we did this because when you're using drops at a 45 like this, if you're going over terraces or moving 6-7 miles an hour through the field, hit bumps, whatnot, these drops get to swaying back and forth. And it was noted and discussed in one of my committee meetings that, you know, not only are you not getting at zero all the time, you're also getting some UAN hitting the plants themselves, and is that detrimental to yield? So we added these three treatments to try to get a grasp, and we upped the rate, assuming that if we up the rate, we'll see most damage done. And there's not a whole lot of mid-season applications that are going to be 224 kg a hectare. I guess you could, but it's pretty high. And then another one of these treatments was now back at zero with the high rate of 224 kg a hectare. And this last treatment was directly down the middle of the row. And that was added in 2009 at the Irrigated Research Center once again. Okay, the results from the 09 trial. Here at the, we had a significance using SED of 1874 the second year at the low rate. However, the additional rates did not have, were not significant. However, you can see there was quite a boost at zero, the 90 kg a hectare rate here, but not as much a difference when you get up into the higher rates. But as you note, the zero or check rate was also substantially high, indicating that we might not have had as good a response to N as in 2009 or 2008. Here's the the three added treatments, there was no significant difference between them whatsoever. And in fact, the zero distance right along the brace roots at an extremely high rate for mid-season application yielded just slightly better than the other two locations. Now, for a dry land site, 2008, we used a randomized complete block design once again. Plots were the same size. We harvested the two middle rows, and this was on another silt loam in the eastern half of the state at the Haskell Research Center. I don't have a whole lot of faith in this data. We just got out of the field the other day, and that was the this is the 09 data, excuse me. There was no response to nitrogen whatsoever. Matter of fact, the check yielded as high or almost higher than any of the other plots, and the average yield was around 40 bushels an acre. There was approximately 2 inches of rain between for the whole. We had moisture early, and there was 2 inches of rain through the whole vegetative life cycle of the corn. And there was a heat wave during pollination, which was pretty hard on it. So, in conclusion, mid-season in rates of 45 kg a hectare applied at the base of the plant were better than the more traditional 30 centimeter application distances, and the closer applied in rates ranging from 90 to 224 may or may not be beneficial. However, it was well noted that even a high, extremely high mid-season application rate was not detrimental to yield. And hopefully in the future, or hopefully next season, we can get a couple more dry land sites to make it through the drought and the heat waves we have in Oklahoma. And because that's why I'm very interested to see how distance within a row affects nitrate movement throughout a growing season. And I think with the recent advent of Precision Ag technologies, there's a lot more research that could be done. Especially a similar study like this conducted in a no-till environment. As most of you are probably aware, when you use a no-till type planter, there's a couple-inch opening of usually exposed soil where if you're in a no-till system, the rest of the row is covered by residue. If you can get that mid-season application within that, get soil contact in that row, you could probably have better utilization. And how close can we get? It was discussed we should try using rolling coulters and just barely cover the application up and get it closer to the plant. How close can we get using knives before we prune roots and detrimentally affect yield? And with that, thank you. And is there any questions? And I'd like to thank my committee members, Dr. Bill Ron, Dr. Brian Arnell, Dr. John Soley, and Dr. Randy Taylor. Thank you very much.
Questions from the audience?
Is your standard practice to spray the side dress application on the surface?
That's currently how we do most of our mid-season applications at OSU in the soil fertility group.
How much loss of nitrogen do you get from a surface application?
You know, I'm not really for sure. That'd be something that maybe we should look at too, but I do know that temperature and wind speed and crop canopy shading the row would have a large effect on that. When you're side dressing at V8 to V10, maybe not as much loss as you think.
Other questions?
Do you have any theories on why close to the row did look? I mean, one can your irrigated sites, one at the higher rate, one at the lower rate, but at least it always was that trend. Why that was, why close to the row was better? Did you ever say that?
I guess I would just hypothesize that I hypothesized when going into the study that the irrigated, it wouldn't matter so much because you'd have plenty of mass flow of nitrate, which is how 80% of the N gets into a corn plant. I would have thought that it wouldn't have made much of a difference, and that's why I was excited to see the results in the dry land. I thought that you'd see a bigger difference in those results.
Time for one more quick question.
Just as a comment related to what you just said, is that once you put it on the surface, you've got to be able to get it into the ground before mass flow can take place. So, you know, under a dry land conditions, you wouldn't expect to be able to get it into the soil with very little moisture there to start with. Your mass flow concept's basically shot and put anyway, I mean, because you can't get it into the plant. So that might be a, you know, you showed some equipment that may be helpful in terms of putting it into the ground to start with.
And I think that was some of the ideas with trying to do a rolling culture type method and just barely placing it under the surface and getting it into the soil.
All right, join me in thanking our speaker.